Happy Thanksgiving. It is so appropriate that I get to communicate with you this weekend because Stephanie and I are just so incredibly grateful that we get to be a part of this incredible group of people. We are so privileged and so humbled that you allow us to shepherd you and your kids, and we love this church. We love being a part of it. We love every single one of you and the ways that you serve and the ways that you help us to reach our community. And so today, honestly, isn't going to be much of a sermon. It's really just going to be me talking to you for a little bit and saying thank you, because we are incredibly grateful, and maybe kind of lead you into giving thanks to our Heavenly Father for all that He has done for us. And if you're new here today, you should know that today's a really big day for our church, because we've been talking for the last several weeks about what is the next step for us as a church and inviting people to be a part of this incredible opportunity that God's put in front of us as an organization. And so we've been handing out brochures and commitment cards over the last several weeks and inviting everyone to pray and to consider making a commitment with us today. And so it's a really big day. So if you're a guest here today, then you're going to get a really cool behind the scenes look at our organization and what drives us and what we're passionate about and all that. And certainly we do not expect you to participate in this opportunity today to make a commitment, a financial commitment to this, but hopefully you'll be inspired about how and why we create the kinds of environments that we do. Because when we started out 10 years ago, we really just had this one simple idea. It all revolved around this idea that we just wanted to inspire people to follow Jesus. That was really the simplest way to say it. You can't make anything happen in someone's life spiritually, but we just wanted to inspire people. And this word's really important. This word follow is really important because we felt like, you know, before people can obey, before people can understand, before people can believe, that Jesus just came along to people and He invited them to follow. You know, in the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life, there's time after time where Jesus walked up to people and He just said, "Follow me." And I'm sure they had all kinds of questions, right? Like, "Well, who are you? Just follow me." "Well, where are we going? Just follow me." "Well, I'm not even sure that I agree with the things that you're teaching. Just follow me." "Well, I'm not sure that you are who you say you are. Follow me." And so often in our churches today, we've gotten this mixed up and turned around and we've gotten it backward. We want to tell people that first they've got to clean up their act, right? Or first they've got to understand their theology. And then once you've gotten a little bit smarter and once you've gotten a little bit better, then you can follow Jesus. And Jesus didn't play it that way at all. Jesus just came along to people and He said, "Just follow me. Join me on the path. Join me on the journey. Let's build a relationship. And along the way, we'll talk about what you believe. Along the way, we'll discuss your questions. Along the way, we'll talk about behavior. But right now, just follow me." And so we just wanted to inspire and invite people to follow Jesus. We said it like this from the very beginning, that our vision was to create churches that unchurched people would love to attend. And we know that that's kind of a fallacious statement, right? Because as soon as they start attending, then they're no longer unchurched. But we use that word because there are so many people who would say, I'm kind of the un part of church. Like, I either used to go to church and I've gotten disconnected, or I've never really felt like I was a part of church. Somewhere along the line, you know, I used to believe, but then something happened. I went to college and a professor kind of like just destroyed my faith, or someone gave me answers as a child that didn't really fit the pain that I experienced as an adult. And so at some point, I disconnected from the church, or I never really felt completely included in the church anyway. And so we would say, this is a group of people that are unchurched, and we wanted to create a church that unchurched people would love to attend. In fact, we said, we want people who would consider themselves unchurched to not only love to attend the church, but that they would want to come back and bring a friend. And that was just the vision a long time ago. And people said, "That's a little crazy. You know, this is like you're going to build a golf course for people who don't play golf. You're designing a product for people who've already decided they don't want your product." But we just had this crazy idea that when Jesus came along and He invited people to follow Him, He invited people with great faith, people with little faith, people with no faith. He came along and invited everybody. Everybody was invited to follow Him. So we said, well, what if we created a church where everybody was invited to follow Jesus? If you felt connected to church, great. Help us build this thing for your neighbors, for your friends, for your family who don't feel connected to church. And if you don't feel connected to church, we wanted to create a space. And this is a little crazy. We wanted to create a space for people who don't feel connected to church, who don't feel connected to God, who maybe don't even understand how to read the Bible. We wanted these people to feel like they had a place where they could belong before they believed. People like my friends who, they grew up with, she grew up Jewish, he grew up Protestant. By the time they got to college, religion was irrelevant in their lives. It didn't matter if you were Protestant or Jewish. By the time they got to college, religion was just irrelevant. They got married, they had kids, and then you hit a bump in life, right? Have you hit a bump? You get a little bit older in life, a crisis pops up, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, maybe there's another dynamic to this. Maybe I should explore the spiritual side of things. And so someone suggested that they attend one of our churches, and they started coming to one of our churches, and they got plugged into a Starting Point group, and then they got involved in one of our community groups, and then someone gave them a Bible, and they started reading and exploring and asking questions, and all the way along, this church has created environments for them and people like them to say, you can belong, you can be a part, you can serve, you can have a role here. You can belong before you believe. And guys, this is unprecedented. This is something that is completely unusual. You know, that we would create an environment like this for people and say that you are part of us, even if you're not sure if you agree with or believe any of the things that we are teaching. Well, we had this crazy idea. We want a church to be so much fun. We want a church to be something especially for parents, that we would partner with parents, that parents would feel like we're creating a space that kids actually want to come to church on Sunday morning. We had this vision in the very beginning. It was just sort of one of these crazy harebrained ideas that in the beginning that kids would wake their parents up on Sunday morning and want to go to church. That was just sort of, we cast out this crazy idea. It'll probably never happen, but wouldn't that be the ultimate win, right? And so many of you have shared that your kids, much to your chagrin, wake you up on Sunday morning and want to go to church. Matter of fact, last Sunday, I'm standing out here on the sidewalk, and a mom came up to me with her little girl, and mom and dad too, And they came up with their little girl, and this little girl, she's 6 years old, she just loves Upstreet. I mean, loves, loves, loves Upstreet. She's so excited about Upstreet. And so they're leaving, and I'm thinking, this is just like a happy moment, right? Family's been here, had a great time, they're on their way out. And the mom looks at me, and she rolls her eyes, and she's like, this is the worst part of my week. And I'm like, what? What happened? Why? What's the matter? And she's like, every day, I get asked the question, how many days until Sunday? And now I've got to start the countdown clock all over again. Are you kidding? I mean, do you remember when you were a kid begging your parents to go to church? No, I don't either. I mean, is this for real? Do kids really beg their parents to want to go to church? That was this dream. That was this idea that we had, that church would come alongside and partner with parents and make it fun, and that you wouldn't be on your own, and it wouldn't be the church just feeding your kids information, but that together we could inspire kids and teenagers to follow Jesus. And this is crazy. Here's what's happened here. Kids love to come to church. Middle school students love to come to church. High school students not only love to come to church, but by the time they're in high school around here, they are part of making church happen. And they are developing a passion, not just for going to church, but creating church for families like mine. And then when they go to college, they're looking for a local church to attend and to be a part of. Guys, this has happened. This has become possible because of your incredible generosity. You have financed this. You have made this possible. You've taken what was just a dream and some ideas and some crazy stuff on a whiteboard 10 years ago, and you've made it a reality. And today, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for creating this local church. We are so grateful and we are so privileged to be a part of this. And we absolutely love being a part of this. We had this crazy idea in the beginning that what if we could make Sunday the best day of the week for people? What if Sunday could be fun? What if going to church could mean singing Freebird and giving away a free turkey? What if we could say, we're gonna take Jesus very seriously, but we're just not gonna take ourselves very seriously. And we're gonna have fun on Sunday morning. What if we could make Sunday really, really fun, but then instead of asking you to come back on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, we would give you the rest of your week back to invest in your friends and your family and your coworkers? What if we could say the rest of the week is yours? Develop some relationships with people outside of church. What if we really believe that the church is most effective when the lights are out and the doors are locked and the parking lot is empty? And so we said we want church to be simple. We want to give you the rest of your week back to invest in your community. And then some of you stood with us and said, what if circles could be more effective than rows? What if spiritual growth and spiritual development could happen better when people get together and have conversations instead of us just speaking to them? What if instead of the church telling people what to think, what if the church inspired people to get together and have conversations and ask questions? You see, we had this crazy idea that church could be for seekers, right? Seekers are the people who say, I believe that there's something more to this life. I'm just not sure what that something more is. And I want to ask some questions. We wanted church to be for starters. Starters would be the people who would say, you know, I think there's something to this Jesus thing, and I want to know more about him, and I think I'm taking steps to follow Jesus, but don't ask me any hard questions yet. I'm just getting started. And then returners, you know, people who say, I've been there, but at some point I got hurt by the church, I got burned by the church, or church just became irrelevant, or someone convinced me it didn't matter anymore, and I just walked away, but now I'm coming back. And we wanted to create a church for seekers and for starters and returners, because at some point we've all been seekers, we've all been starters, and we have all been returners. Some of us two or three times. Right? We're like professional returners. We return and then we drift and then we return and we drift. And we wanted to create a church that was fun and that was safe and that was engaging for all those people. A church that is for everybody. And we wanted to create a church that where you didn't just acquire knowledge, right? Because we had this idea that we would teach less for more, then instead of making Sunday morning messages complicated and confusing and throwing a whole bunch of verses at you, we looked at that kind of teaching and we said, you know what, that might make people a little bit smarter, but it doesn't make people deeper. It doesn't help us understand what it means to actually trust God and apply our faith. And so we decided we're going to have messages that are really simple, but they're incredibly difficult to apply. But if you apply them, they will radically transform your life, and they will take your spiritual understanding, not to make you smarter, but to make you so much deeper in your walk, in your relationship with God. And then just one more thing, and then we'll move on. But we had this idea too, that that church could be something that that would connect with people in such a way that that you would be forever changed because of what God has done in your life personally. Not just a box to check, but a relationship to grow and to develop and enjoy. And that was our dream, and you guys helped us accomplish all that. And so before we move on and before we talk about the future, before we talk about anything that's next with Access Church, because I'm not always great at this, guys. If you do the strengths finders, I'm a futurist. I like to look forward. I like to talk about what's next. I like to be excited. But before we do that, we've got to stop for a moment and just say thank you to you. And thank you to God for all that he's done to even put us in a position as a church where we could even consider, taking on a project on the scale that we're about to take on. And it's been a lot of people putting in a lot of time and giving faithfully over a long period of time and investing and sitting down in circles with little kids and teenagers and other adults. And instead of throwing out a bunch of answers to people, having a lot of conversations. So here we are, and we're so grateful. And now we're asking this next question in the life of our church, and that is, what if we as a church were best known not for what we're against, but for what we're for? I mean, wouldn't that be amazing, right? The church for too long has been known for what we're against. And what if our communities, what if your community, what if the people where you live, what if your coworkers knew the church not for what we're against, but for what we are for? And so we're jumping off on this new thing to say that we are for St. John's. It's a completely new thing. It's a new chapter in the life of our church. Now, we're excited about what God is doing in every corner of this community. We're excited for what God is doing in every corner of Duval and Clay and Nassau and St. John's. But right now, God's given us unique momentum. God's given us unique opportunity to walk up to people and to say to them that the God of the universe, the one who created you, the one who knows you best, the one who knows everything that you wish no one knew about you, loves you more deeply than you can possibly imagine. And that we want to create a church for the people that we know and the people that we love, a church that doesn't offend people. The gospel, we are told, the message of the gospel can be offensive, right? But church should not be offensive. We should not be offensive. And sometimes I've heard church people dismiss the fact that their church is offensive and that their church people are offensive by saying, well, you know, the gospel's offensive. You're right, the gospel's offensive. You shouldn't be offensive. Your church shouldn't be offensive. The way that you judge people shouldn't be offensive. We said from the very beginning, we're going to have a church where the offense is in the message. It's not in us. It's not in how we dress. It's not in how we talk. It's not in our language. It's not in the way that we treat insiders versus outsiders. It's not in the way that we card you when you walk in the door and we ask you, where were you last weekend, or what'd you do last spring break, or who did you vote for? But there's one thing, and one thing only, that's going to be offensive, and that's the message of the gospel. And here's what's offensive about it. So if you get offended by this, it's okay. You're supposed to. If you push back on this a little bit, it's okay. We understand. We've all pushed back on this. The message of the gospel that's offensive is this: that you and I are sinners in need of a Savior. We like to think of ourselves as mistakers in need of some good advice. But Jesus came and he taught that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and he offers to be that Savior. And he offers a message of hope and healing and reconciliation. And he told us that you can be restored to a relationship with the God who made you. This is the message of the gospel. It's offensive first because we have to recognize that we are broken and that we are in need, like Evan said earlier. But there is healing and there is restoration and there is hope in the fact that Jesus Christ wants to be your hope and your Savior and give you a fresh, clean start. And we just want this church to broadcast this message. Now, today we're here to talk about, or at least to take this next step, and what does it look like for us to pull off this incredible opportunity? This next step for us, 7 acres, a small building, a foothold in Northwest St. John's County. But it's a project that's going to cost about $2.5 million. And our goal today is to commit that over the next 2 years and 2 months, we will come up with $775,000 of that. It's a goal that for any one of us individually would be overwhelming. But for all of us together, it's just another obstacle. And I could tell you so many stories and so many ways that God has brought down obstacles for this church over the years, but I just want you to know that there's a group of people that have made this possible. 10 years ago, this was just an idea. 10 years ago, this was just a dream. And some people came before us, some incredible people, some generous people, and they made this possible. And you'd never know because we don't talk about money a lot around here. You know, we don't do the three B's. The three B's are we don't beg you, we don't bribe you, we don't berate you, right? We don't come before you, we don't say, oh, please, you got to give us money or we're not going to have any lights on next week. We didn't do that. We don't do that because there's generous people who make it possible for us to do what we need to do. When we had to buy pipe and drape, we didn't come up and say, well, we're going to have a pipe and drape fund. Right? We don't beg you. We don't bribe you. We don't do that thing where we're like, hey, if you give God one, he'll give you 10. Right? I've seen those guys on TV. I changed the channel too. If those guys really believe that, I'm like, well, why don't you give me money? Then I'll give you, you know, let's see how this works in reverse. Right? We don't berate you. We don't stand up here and tell you about all the things that we can't do because you haven't been good stewards of God's money. We don't do that. I don't like that in church. You don't like that in church. But then that leads us to a problem, right? Because it leads us to a place where you don't think we need your money. And we need your money, all right? We really do. Because somebody had to buy this pipe and drape. Somebody has to turn the lights on. Somebody has to pay for the sound system. All these things that we enjoy, somebody had to pay for it. But the reason you don't think your money is because, you know, we don't talk about it a lot. And here's why we don't talk about it a lot, because you don't want to go to a church that needs your money, right? How many people went to that church? Oh, been there, right? It's like every Sunday, we need your money. And you stopped going there because you didn't like the way that that made you feel. And then you came here. Awesome. Glad to have you. You looked around. You said, oh, they're pretty good. You know, they got lights. They got musicians. Everybody sings on key. Guess they don't need my money. So the question that we have for you today, regardless of where you fall on this campaign, the question we have for you today is, what's your plan? What's your strategy to financially support the church that you love, the church that your kids love, the church that's making such an investment in you and your marriage and your family and your future? What's your plan to support the church that you love? Before we talk about what are our plans for Access Church, I just want to ask you the question, what are your plans for Access Church? Do you want Access Church to be amazing? Do you want Access Church to be successful? Do you want us to be able to create, because this is the vision, guys. The vision is not just for a campus in St. John's. That's the beginning. That's the next step, but that is not the last step for us. I want to see campuses. I want to see churches in every corner of these communities, in every corner of where you live and where I live, opportunities where every single high school student has an opportunity to bring friends to an environment that's fun and engaging and helps them grow in their relationship with God. And we can do it. Matter of fact, if we all step up, we can build these campuses with cash. We have that potential. Even this group of people has that potential. So we don't want to coast. We want this to be the next step, but I want you to know this next step, that's not the end goal. The goal isn't to buy some land and build us a building and coast. The goal is to continue to inspire every single person that I have a relationship with to follow Jesus. The goal is not to have a big church. The goal is not to have more campuses than anyone else. The goal is to make room for my friends and your neighbors to find a place where they can belong before they believe and develop a relationship with God. What if our neighbors knew that God is for them? So we decided to launch this campaign a few weeks ago. And it's an incredible opportunity, right? It's actually unprecedented in this community that we would come and that we would say, we're going to bring all of these environments for kids and teens and adults and say that they're fun, that they're practical, that we partner with parents together, that we're going to do all this together. We have this unprecedented opportunity. But it raises a question for us of what does this look like for me to take the next step? I want you to see these stories, and then I'm going to invite you to take the next step with us.
We're Bob and Faith Donnelly, and we live in Avondale. We are Jake and Autumn Weeks, and we live in Murray Hill.
We're Justin and Jasmine Smith, and we live in Mandarin.
We are Lawton and Sarah Graves, and we live in San Marco.
We are Shannon and Mike Von Balsen, and we live in Arlington.
These are the best dollars you're gonna spend. I mean, we all want nice things, but if we're gonna sacrifice, we need to sacrifice for the Lord's kingdom, because you don't know whose lives you're gonna change. I've had middle school guys come in that are going through adoption. I never knew a kid that didn't have a family, but you know, because we have that environment where the kids wanna come every Sunday, I mean, even though their life isn't ideal, because somebody gave money, we have PlayStations, we have couches, we have just a fun place where this guy can come and feel love and appreciate it every week.
It's easy to give when you've been at a place where you know that what you're giving to isn't just about what's going to happen on the inside of that church, but it's about what the mission is, what the church wants to do to reach people that haven't been there yet. And that makes it easy to give.
Lots of transactions. There's a winner and a loser in the relationship of giving money to an organization like Access. There's no loser.
Everything is lining up for all this momentum to start in St. John's. You know, there are so many young families there, and we don't live there. And it, you know, to be honest, it's like it was hard at first when we heard. You know, when we heard that it was gonna move further away from where we are, from where our neighbors, you know, at the beginning it was like, you know, it's a long drive. But once you kind of look around what your options are, I mean, when you really think about it, you're like, there are no other options. That I don't wanna raise my family anywhere else with any other people, you know, doing church this way. And going to St. John's, it's so exciting because there is a huge growth there, and there's so much momentum, and I feel like it's just going to be a launching pad for everything else God has in store for other campuses.
The church isn't for us, so the church, we feel like this church for us is more of a place to serve as opposed to a place for us to really be consumers, and we feel like the consumers of this church are currently in St. John's County.
I'm excited because I get to experience what it's like to try to build a church in a community, in a growing community, from the ground up, and it's gonna be very intimate. I'm excited about the relationships. I'm excited about witnessing the life change of my daughters, peers, as well as some of the middle school guys that I'm gonna, that I have a relationship with now. I mean, it's all brand new, no script, and I get to be a part of it.
I've seen the increase, I've seen the effectiveness of what happens when we invest in people's lives, and I believe that St. John's is going to open up incredible opportunities, not only for Access Church as an organization, as creating amazing environments, but also with the relationships that we can be intentional about, not only investing in their lives, but watching those relationships flourish within environments of this new place within St. John's County. I'm super excited.
So I think individually, we were kind of both thinking about it, processing, praying about it. And then when we came together, we were both very agreeable on what's that number that we could come up with that we felt like, you know, there. Out of that number, it was. We also were like, we want to be wise, so we have money if we need a new roof or something. But we also need to look at what do we not need. You know, like what did we plan on maybe we were going to do in the next couple of years that we're like, we just want to change the plan a little bit.
I don't know why I would not financially continue to invest even more. Not only for my own kids, but for everyone else's that's coming into this environment as well. So that these people, our friends, can bring their kids to these environments and experience some of the same things that our family has experienced. Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we invest?
for the campaign, for looking forward to what's next for Access. We both thought about it and kind of prayed about it separately. And it was funny how when we really started to get in and talk about that together, the same number had, we both came to the table with the same number. And we looked at each other, and actually we were driving, and kind of looked at each other and said, you really feel like that's the right number? And we both did.
Somebody came before you to help put you in this position. So what are you going to do to make that change in somebody else's life?
We are for Arlington. We are for the beaches. We are for Avondale. We're for Riverside. We're for Ortega. We're for Orange Park. We're for Mandarin. We're for every part of Jacksonville, because we feel like for so long the church has been known for what we're against, and we want the communities in which we live to know that we're for them. We feel like if God were to show up today, he would say, I'm for you. I'm not against you. I'm not trying to catch you doing something wrong. I'm for you. And so we want this city to know that we are for them as well. And as much as we're for all these different parts of town, right now, God's given us momentum in St. John's. And so for right now, for starters, we're going to be for St. John's.
We're Jake and Autumn, and we're for St. John's.
We are Shannon and Mike, and we are for St. John's.
We're Rich and Stephanie, and we are for St. John's.
We're Bob and Faith, and we're for St. John's.
We're Lawton and Sarah, and we are for St. John's.
We're Justin and Jasmine, and we're for St. John's. And I know there are really good people there, because every Sunday she comes home and does something new that we did not teach her.
I wish I could take you with me to experience some of these conversations I've had with folks as we've talked about their potential commitment to this campaign. One young mom was sharing with me that she was just really feeling burdened by this. She wanted to make a sacrificial commitment, a significant commitment, but at the same time, she's responsible for the financial well-being of her family. And what's that balance there? And as she was wrestling through that and praying through that, then orders for her business just started to come in, as if God were saying to her, it's okay, I've got this. And then her boy, her little boy, her Wamba-aged son, says to her the memory verse from Wambaland, Mommy, God's ways are always perfect. I was meeting with a guy who said that this was really for the first time in his life he was taking steps to trust God with his finances. And he said, I've been praying about what my commitment to this campaign should be, and every time I pray about it, my number gets bigger. So I feel like I should tell you my number right away. But I think I'm going to keep praying about it. Guys, I am so excited about what God is doing through this campaign, not because we're going to get a beautiful facility to which we can invite our friends and our neighbors to experience a relationship with God, but because of what he is doing in all of our hearts individually to bring us to a place of trusting him, for many of us, at a level that we've never trusted him before. This is a scary thing. Steffi and I went first. We are launching kids into college right now. We've got expenses in front of us that we've never had before. But we went first, and our staff and our elders have made their commitments. We would never ask you to do anything that we have not already done. We are so fired up about this. We are so excited about this. In fact, in the last 3 weeks, I've had two conversations with families that went like this. Hey, we wanted to share with you some important news for our family, because it turns out that we're going to be moving to Atlanta. We're going to be moving to West Palm Beach. But before we left, it was important for us to sit down with you and share with you what our commitment to this campaign is. Are you kidding me? People that are leaving to go to another city, but they're fired up about this vision and this organization. And they said, someone came before us and made this possible for us. We want to do this for whoever comes next. So here's what we're going to do. In just a minute, the band is going to come back up here. And we're going to ask everyone to fill out a commitment card. If you brought one with you, that's fantastic. If you don't have one, I'm going to ask Guest Services to make one available. And you can, if you didn't get one on the way in, or we've got at least some blank 3x5 cards. I think we might have run out of commitment cards, which is awesome. Thank you for taking all of those. But we want every family, every individual to participate in this. Because our goal ultimately is 100% participation. That's our goal. We don't want anyone to miss out on this opportunity. I don't want you to drive by and see this land being cleared and have missed out on the opportunity to feel ownership and to know that you were a part of it. I don't want you to see this building going up and feel like you missed out on an opportunity to be a part of this. We want 100% of us to jump in and to be a part of this so that on opening day, when you're walking the Wamba hallway and the Upstreet hallway and you're seeing kids and teenagers and adults engaged in a relationship with God, we want every single one of us to feel and to know that we were a part of this. So our goal here today is 100% participation. And so the band is going to come up in a minute, and while they're singing, you'll have the opportunity to fill out your card. And then on your way out today, we're going to have someone from Guest Services at this door and out in the lobby, and we would love for you to exchange your card, one of these neat little stickers. This is what you get. You pledge. If you're one of those folks that takes one of those top boxes and you pledge $100,000, we're going to give you a sticker. But you can begin to tell your neighbors and your community that you are for St. John's. And that's just our way to say thank you and joining us in this commitment and this solidarity together. And we'll be doing some other stuff, fun stuff on social media and other ways as well that you can symbolically stand with us and say that you're excited about this and that you are for St. John's. We are so, so fired up about this. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for even the opportunity to be in this room today and to be a part of this. I feel like this is a day that we're going to look back on decades from now and talk about how awesome it was to be able to be a part of this huge next step in the life of our church. God, I pray that you would give us great faith today. Help us to take a step that would stretch us, that would stretch our trust in you and our faith in what you're about to do in and through our church. Do something to our hearts too, God. We ask all this in your name. Amen.